Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Family of Addison Tams has hosted Addy Walks over the weekend. The event is to help raise money for the new playground at the elementary school Addy went to and to remember her life. Learn more about Addy and the event on the website. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey has signed legislation that lets career and technical education districts to offer associate degrees. Ducey says helping students with skills will fill the jobs of tomorrow. More info, YumaDailyNews.com. Arizona has been one of many states to legalize pot. The state has collected more tax revenue from weed sales than alcohol. Learn more about cannabis legalization, YumaDailyNews.com. Highlights between the Padres and the Marlins have been updated at YumaDailyNews.com. Read the latest news and catch all the action from the San Diego Padres on local radio, right here in Yuma. Find out where to tune in on our website. If you have ideas for local news story, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@YumaDailyNews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
After 43 years, 24 Karat Jewelers is closing its doors. Their closing business sale will save you 50% off all jewelry, including all wedding sets and diamonds. That's right, 50% off their entire inventory of jewelry. 24th Street and Avenue B in Yuma. 24 Karat Jewelers closing business sale means 50% off all jewelry, earrings, pendants, rings, and necklaces. 50% off their entire jewelry inventory. 24th Street and Avenue B. After 43 years, 24 Karat Jewelers says, thank you, Yuma.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner in studio here with a couple of my good friends. We got Russ Clark, we got Howard Blitz from the Freedom Library, and we got Cody Beeson, longtime contributor to the radio show and host of a show of his own.
Good morning.
So today, you know, we just were talking before the show, and I was deliberating between what topics would be most interesting to our listeners. And so it came up to two top topics, and one was 2000 Mules, the movie that came out by Dinesh D'Souza. And I really like Dinesh, and I like him because he's very even keel. He doesn't get really, really, like, passionate and enraged, or And he also doesn't get intimidated easily.
No, he's been to jail.
He was imprisoned for
Obama's when he was around.
Under Obama for his political beliefs, and it was obviously for his political beliefs. Of course, Obama pegged it on something that was due to contributions, campaign contributions. But never been prosecuted in the history of that law
And they put him in jail.
Yes.
But he gave too much money. There was a max, a ceiling of 6,000 or something. He gave 7 or something.
Right.
And normally when that happens, they said, you got to give that money back. And they just give it back.
Right.
On him, he went to jail.
Yeah. He spent some time in jail.
Yeah.
I was very concerned that he wasn't going to make the Freedom Library's debate, because we had a debate between him, Jacob Hornberger, and Andre Cherney.
Uh-huh.
And it was held over Gila Ridge High School. And
yeah.
I called him. I says, Are you going to be able to make it, or are you going to be in jail? But he didn't have to go serve his prison term until after our debate here in Yuma. So
I remember going to that. That was like 5 or 6 years ago, right?
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it was a wonderful debate. And the thing is, Dinesh D'Souza stole the show, which usually, because he has so much information just at his disposal, And when you have information and you're on the right, you know, you got to have those two things, then your opponents really look silly.
And he's fearless.
Well, I don't
he's
think
he's going to do the right thing. Like, give me liberty, give me death kind of guy.
Yeah. And he and the thing is, he came here. You know, he's not obviously a natural born citizen of the United States. He could never be the president of the United States. He was born in India. And but he came here because he loved the idea that is incubated here in America and that has grown here in America, and that is the idea of freedom and democracy. And he wants to perpetuate that idea and be a loyal trustee of the concept that the constitutional fathers have provided us and entrusted us with. And he's become a citizen. He went through the proper channels and the legal channels to become a citizen, and now he is one of the most outspoken citizens of our constitutional rights.
Yeah, he's very articulate, very articulate. But I loved the way he describes America versus India, because he would say in India, everything is planned for you. You know, what you're going to do, what school you're going to go to, everything's already mapped out. He says in America, you have a clean whiteboard or blackboard or whatever you want to call it. And you get to draw your own picture, whatever picture you want. And I always thought that was kind of, that's what America's all about. Everybody gets to do what they want to do.
Yeah. He's the Michael Moore of the right. But the thing is, when you get done watching a Michael Moore movie, you feel like sick to your stomach, right?
Well, but some people don't, okay? Some people don't.
All right.
And that's the beauty of America. You have the availability of opinions.
Yeah.
And it's important because this is how we all learn.
Yeah.
By listening and figuring out for ourselves, coming to a conclusion.
It's important we don't lose them, and we're in danger of that.
Because if you only get one side of a story, you're not getting the whole story.
Oh, you've only got Twitter.
To hear all sides, whether it's left, progressive, or freedom-oriented.
Yeah, you know? Or even your opinion.
My opinion? My opinion doesn't count.
I'm just joking.
It always counts in here.
But
it's very, very important.
Yeah, 2,000 Mules is a movie that is out now, and you can watch it. If you go online, it's actually very difficult to find the link to go to it.
Is that an official link to watch it, or is that a...
2,000 Mules is the title of the movie.
Correct, right. But I mean, is there a link to watch it for free that's official, or is it pirated?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I was having a hard time.
But worst case scenario, it costs $20.
They're selling it for $20.
Right.
I got it for free for Howard.
Yeah.
You know, because he'll share it with everybody.
Well, I paid $20 to have it live streamed. So.
Well, now you get a free one with it.
Now I get a free one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's $20.
Nothing's free, though.
The app that you got to go to, I can
yeah,
pull
I was
it
trying
up right
to look
here.
At that. I was trying to do YouTube, 2,000 Mules.
Yeah, you won't find it that way.
But you have to go through
really?
A lot of... but then you have to sign up for something else.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh.
I says, no, I'm not going to sign up for something else.
Yeah, well, you just got your identity stolen.
So
2,000 Mules is on the website Salem Now.
Oh, okay.
Salem Now, they're the producers for it. So, Cody, did you find it? Okay, I'm going to give you a microphone.
Why do I need a mic? I just found the website.
Tell us how to find it.
I just Googled watch 2,000 Mules, and it was the second link to pop up.
Is that what you did?
That's exactly what I did. I mean, you
skip 2,000 Mules?
Yeah, you skip the IMDb stuff and the Twitter stuff. It's right there.
Oh.
It's
okay.
Oh, Salem Now. That's what you were saying.
Yeah, it's not intuitive, though, because it's watch Salem Now is the site that you're going to be looking for.
Okay.
And so you got to click on that, and 2,000 Mules is just going to be the link under that website that you view. So if you're Googling, Google 2,000 Mules and look for the website, watch.salemnow.com, and you click on that link, and you'll be allowed to pay the $20 and watch the movie. Russ says that he's got 20 plus DVDs. You'll also get sent a DVD.
I don't have. They gave it to us as a group, so I only got three or four.
Oh, okay. How many do you have left?
I got one in the car for this group.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Nice. Oh, well,
I gave one to Mel.
So I'd have to go to the antique shop and find a DVD player first, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
worth right? it.
Can't you play this now, or do you have to pay $20?
It'll make you log in.
So I watched it last night, and it's fantastic. I know, Russ, you discussed this in your previous shows.
Sure.
I just wanted to give a brief overview of it. And what it is basically Dinesh D'Souza says, okay, let's get to empirical data to determine whether or not there were more than irregularities with regard to the election. And for those of you that are just tuning in or haven't been listening to Russ's description of the movie, you may feel like, oh boy, roll your eyes. Here we go. The election was a fraud. It was stolen. And
bunch
these are
of conspiracy crap.
Yeah, here the crazies come out again. And so what he does is he goes to this computer expert that is able to and has been hired by many countries around the world to determine election freedoms and integrity. And he tracks basically how people move, and he does this by the cell phone signals. And so he says, okay, you put in certain parameters, because obviously there's trillions, literally trillions of pings out there of cell phone signals. And so we have to get a way to refine this data and find out which of these signals are actually even worth watching, because there's no way that we can watch trillions of these pings when the cell phone sends a signal up to the satellite. So what he does is he develops a filter, and it's a pretty conservative filter. He says, okay, we only want to see the pings of individuals that go to more than five, what they call...
Well, they started off with 10, more than 10 of these drop boxes. It stopped at the at the drop boxes.
Yes, but of the pickup points... Where they actually
picked them up. The offices where they picked up the before they delivered.
Yes, they've got these nonprofit organizations that where the ballots are dropped off.
501c3. They don't pay taxes and they get donations for millions of dollars.
So it's a tax free organization, but they get all this money in there, and they're collecting all these ballots. And so it was five of those locations that they visited, and 10 drop boxes. So no normal person is going to go to five of those locations and 10 drop boxes.
In Atlanta, they had one guy that went to 100 drop boxes in one day.
Right. And that's what and so what they said is they said, okay, we've got to come up with a term that defines a person that is going to these organizations, collecting ballots, and going to the drop boxes, and the term was mule, hence the title 2,000 Mules.
Because there were 2,000 of them.
Yeah, the minimum.
Yeah.
We're coming up on a break here. It's 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Big change in our weather as this cold front swings through the southwest. Much cooler weather the next several days. 87 today, 87 tomorrow, even cooler 82 Wednesday. When you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay at Total Wine & More, you'll discover a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selection and totally low prices at TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly. Be 21. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The NJCAA Division I Softball Championship is returning to Yuma May 24th through the 28th at the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex. 16 of the best junior college softball teams will once again make their way to Yuma to compete for the national championship. For more information, visit njcaa.org.
Would you look at the time? It's tax time. You already know H&R Block does taxes, but here's what you may not know when you file with H&R Block. Like how you can get expert help in person or virtually. Plus, our tax pros average 10 years of experience. You can even request to work with the same tax pro every year, and your biggest possible refund is always guaranteed. No one offers more ways to help with your taxes than H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson, and we do estate planning. So if you need information about what an estate plan looks like, you give us a call. Our number is 783-4575, and we will sit down with you and we'll discuss how you start putting together information that will outline the most important assets that you want to keep track of and be able to pass on, or at least the information that you want to pass on to individuals that you have confidence in to take care of your affairs in case something happens to you. We don't talk a lot about estate planning anymore on this show just because there are other issues.
But they know you do it. They trust you.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, hopefully you understand when you hear Deason, Garner, and Hanson, we do estate planning. We don't do divorces. We don't do bankruptcy. We don't do accident injury. We do estate planning. That's all we do. But we do it 100%. And the way I explain it to some people is that our scope of practice is only an inch wide, but it's a mile deep. So we are affiliated with brokers, we're affiliated with insurance agencies, we're affiliated with financial planners. Anything that you need to understand and even get assistance with to put your estate plan together, we have direct contacts with. And you can use as much or as little of those services as you need, but as far as the legal portion of it, we do this all day, every day. I've personally drafted over 5,000 trusts, so I have a little bit of experience in this area. But I want to talk to you about things that pertain to our national freedom and liberties and democracy. And obviously, Howard, you're here to keep me honest, and it's a representative democracy. It's a republic, but we get to that point of being represented by voting. And so we talked about this movie, 2,000 Mules, and I think it's a fantastic movie. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about the content of the movie itself, other than it's very, very compelling empirical data that you can see through strictly objective terms that there was fiddling going on with the election, and that fiddling altered the outcome of the election. And it's caught not only on the computer analysis, but on tape again and again and again and again. Not 5 or 10, which a lot of people on both sides of the aisle will say, oh, yeah, there's always going to be some fraud, but it's going to be minimal and it's not going to actually be enough to affect the outcome. No. This is hundreds of thousands.
In only 5 states.
In only 5 states that they were counting, yeah. and the criteria that they were using to filter was extremely conservative, meaning these were only the highest and most prevalent mules that were actually contributing, the people that were actually taking bucket loads of ballots and dumping them. And so that is the issue that we want to stop in order for this democracy to survive. We want every legitimate vote to count. Yep. And that's what we want. The people get to decide the outcome. I'm not preaching an ideology that anybody should be objecting to. Any citizen of the United States that appreciates freedom should be objecting to. Watch the movie, decide for yourself what the evidence suggests. And okay, now moving on.
Real quick.
Okay.
Two things that really were kind of disturbing. One was obviously what you were just talking about, the voting process and how it how the integrity of it has been
compromised. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that really got to me was the fact that we, all of us, can be found.
Oh, yeah.
Pings
yeah.
from our phones.
Doesn't that surprise me you brought that up.
That,
I mean,
that really, really scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because you're talking the whole about Big Brother. All of a sudden, I got these images.
Mm-hmm.
Big Brother's watching.
Yeah.
Now, it can be used, you know, everything's got a positive and a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, even a chainsaw has a good thing and a bad thing to it. All right. It's the same process. If you use it for good,
yeah.
that's okay.
Well, yeah.
But if you use it to start chopping people's heads off, it's not so okay. You know?
Yeah.
So
very good.
It works both ways. Anyway, go ahead. I'm
so, no. So we've got three branches of government. And one branch is supposed to be making laws. Another branch is supposed to be interpreting laws and applying those laws with a constitutional standard. And determining whether or not there's been a violation of those laws.
Are
and
these
that's,
separate co-equal branches of government?
These are separate
okay.
co-equal. Well. And so we've got the legislative branch, and we've got the judicial branch, and we've got the executive branch. And so the executive branch, of course, enforces the law. And we want judges to be impartial. We want judges to follow what the law is. We don't want judges to be lawmakers. And for the simple reason that in a representative democracy, in a republic, we want the people that are making the laws to be accountable to us. Now, judges are appointed, and not by the people. They're appointed by people in power. They're appointed by executive branches, okay? They're appointed by governors. Their point now. At some points, they are elected. You know, with the Superior Court judges, they are elected by elections here in the county.
Right.
But federal judges are appointed, and most importantly, and to topic here, it's the Supreme Court justices that we're talking about that are appointed. There are nine, of course, Supreme Court justices, and they are appointed by the president, and then they're confirmed by the Senate. Now. We don't want the Supreme Court, these nine individuals, making laws, because that would be an oligarchy at the highest level, a tyranny at worst, you know.
And I take it we don't want them to be political either.
We don't want them to be political. We don't want them imposing their personal views on what the law ought to be. We want them interpreting what the Constitution is and reading the Constitution, hopefully, and looking at the actual language in the Constitution and finding within the language of the Constitution, not reading between the lines, but finding within the language of the Constitution justification for either striking down or upholding the laws that they're reviewing. Now, I'm looking at Howard as I'm talking here because I use him as kind of my sounding board as to whether or not what I'm saying fits the constitutional mustard that he understands.
Yeah, that's pretty much... Oh, I see it.
Okay, all right.
He's getting a passing grade.
But the issue comes down, all the Supreme Court justices do is give opinions. They're not making law. And I think, maybe this is my opinion, we seem to take them, okay, they said this.
Right.
Therefore, we cannot do what we were doing before.
Well, their opinion as to whether it's constitutional or unconstitutional, it is law. Because the Constitution is the highest law.
Right.
So they decide whether it is or within, whether it's supported by that highest law or not. And if it's not, then it doesn't get to be a law that is upheld. Right.
Yeah. They just agree. Look, see if it's outside the framework of the Constitution,
yes.
Which is to protect us from government.
So, yeah. So
that's why that section in there, pursuant, all laws pursuant to the Constitution,
right.
Yes.
Are legal laws. All the other laws are invalid.
Yeah, and when you say they make an opinion, it's not like, okay, well, that's their opinion. No, they have a holding, and that holding is law, is the highest law of the land, because that holding is based on what is the foundation of our government, which is the Constitution. So they're basing their opinion, and then ultimately how the law is going to be upheld by saying, yes, it does fit in the constitutional framework, or no, it does not. And if it does not, stricken down. If it does, upheld.
Okay.
And I like that because then it goes back to the legislation to get it right. That's right. Good. Yes. That's great.
Yes. And so, and that's the point that I want to get at, because if you haven't noticed, maybe if you've been hiding in a hole somewhere for the past 2 weeks, there's been a draft opinion from the Supreme Court by Justice Alito out there, and it's Dobbs versus Jackson, and it is going to strike down, it in the opinion itself, it strikes down Roe v. Wade, right, or Casey v. Planned Parenthood, which was the subsequent supporting decision of Roe v. Wade. And a lot of people are up in arms about that, that the judges are taking away freedoms. Now, here's the thing that I want to get to here. I am not going to discuss the morality of abortion, okay? Anybody that knows me understands my position on that. And if you want to talk to me about that, I'd be more than happy to discuss that with you. And I'm not talking about the morality of the act. I'm talking about the constitutional right of the ability to participate in the act. Is that a constitutional right? So let's go to other things that are constitutional rights. My right to own property, constitutional, yes or no?
Yes.
Right. Okay. My right to get married, constitutional.
Is that in there?
You have a right to get married.
I do have a right to get married. I have a right to contract, and that's what marriage is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question is, why do you have to get government's permission to get married?
Well, that's not what I'm asking here. Do I have a right to get married?
Yeah. Well, you have a right.
Constitutionally protected right.
Yeah.
I have a right to contract, right? Yes, I have a right to look at somebody else and say, hey, listen, I'm going to honor certain conditions,
right,
and would you honor other conditions in return? And that's a contract.
Right.
That is a marriage.
Correct.
Okay, and it's a constitutional protected right.
But both parties obviously have to agree. Because if the party one party says, no, I'm not going to agree to the contract, then you don't have a marriage.
I'm not trying to trick you on this one, Howard.
He didn't have an issue with that. Okay. He was okay.
Okay. Right. I just want to make sure.
I'm trying to throw softballs here.
Okay.
A constitutional right to live without my liberty being impeded by those around me.
Well, first of all, we don't have constitutional rights. We have rights given to us by our Creator.
Does a document,
technically,
the Constitution,
named the Constitution, support those rights?
The Constitution is to restrain the government.
Yes.
From interfering with our rights.
Right.
Yes. Otherwise known, a.k.a.
Because as soon as you start talking about constitutional rights, Sean, think that, oh, well, all the rights are going to come from the Constitution. That's not true.
No. They're just outlined in the Constitution and hence referred to.
It's a constitutionally protected right,
yes,
is what he said.
We have to
more accurate.
We have to come to a dialogue where we understand.
Yeah. But there's so many people out there, Sean, that
think they were given something.
You say constitutional right. Oh, well, the Constitution gives me the rights.
No. It's protected by the Constitution.
It's a constitutionally protected
right.
Yeah. And we see the Constitution as the highest law of the land.
It makes a big deal. It really does. I think it does.
I think,
and I'm not trying to be picayune-ish about this whole thing.
But I think that my semantics are clean.
Okay.
They're pure. The Constitution is the highest law.
I understand.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't.
You have to take a break. You can do it now and get back to this, or you can
let's go ahead and take a break.
All right.
This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783
4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Think you may have a gambling problem? Help is just an online 10-question quiz away. Take it today at problemgambling.az.gov because knowing if you might have a problem is the first step toward solving it.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
And Doug. Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in 2 and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. And there are so many interesting topics and issues dealing with the Constitution that it's hard to even focus on one of them. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump right into actually reading the opinion, the draft opinion from Justice Alito that was leaked from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has verified that, yes, this was authentic. And how it got leaked and whether or not that was the biggest crime or whether or not the content of the draft was the bigger issue is a whole different subject. I'll just say just quickly that I think that the leaking of it, regardless of the content, was by far the bigger issue and that the person ought to be imprisoned and is a traitor to our country and our fundamental system of justice and liberty and how things are performed here. Because if we can't discuss what the laws are and what opinions are in area of confidentiality, then we can't discuss them.
Yep.
You know, if and the Supreme Court is at that highest level, and everybody's had that point where they sat down and said, okay, what are our options here? And they want to be able to feel the ability, the freedom to throw out some crazy ideas just to hear it out loud and to see whether or not it makes sense and to hear opposing views without it being spread to the public right. And them being demonized and as supporting and, one idea or
and
another.
And it's protected, like talking to a lawyer or executive privilege, talking when the president talks to advisors. It's executive privilege.
Absolutely.
I have a question. So did the 9 justices of the United States Supreme Court, had they already discussed what was in this leaked decision?
Oh yeah.
And they've already made some kind of a decision? Or were they in the process of making it?
They were in the process of it. Okay. So if you look at the actual decision, it's got all justices' names on it. Okay. It's from Justice Alito. It's okay. To be circulated on February 10th, 2022. And you can see that it's to be signed off as it goes and makes its rounds. But it's not just like this redlined version with a bunch of notes in the margin. It is a very well put together draft, as in this is the first formal version that we're taking a crack at because we've already discussed these issues and come to some conclusions. So let me just read it without a lot of further discussion, just because
I've got some more questions about the process of what the Supreme Court is doing.
Well, it's been pretty unanimously understood that this is not only an authentic document from the Supreme Court, but this has been vetted quite thoroughly, and it fairly well represents what will come out.
Right.
And now there is a minority view saying, well, you know, it hasn't actually been held yet. The Supreme Court hasn't announced it. It hasn't been affirmed.
But they've heard the case.
The
attorneys went before the
arguments are done.
The arguments were already presented.
Yes.
Now the 9 justices go back to their chambers, and they just figure out what decision they want
absolutely.
To come to.
Absolutely.
And that's where we're at with this thing.
Yes.
And this
and
is an early
this
version.
Thing got
first
leaked.
Draft.
This thing got leaks
Somehow. Yes. Okay. So the justices are discussing what their opinions are going to be.
Right.
One justice generally gets appointed to write up what the majority's opinion is, and then the minority writes their opinion, dissenting opinion.
Okay.
So this is what it says. Now, I never thought I'd just read out verbatim a Supreme Court decision because they're fairly hard to understand sometimes, and they have a lot of legalese in there. But I'm going to read this because it is so clear that even over the radio, and as much as I hate reading documents, even the best well-drafted documents, because it, you know, the sentiment gets lost when you read it. But listen to this, okay, for audience out there. This is Justice Alito delivered the opinion of the court, period. Abortion presents a profound moral issue on which Americans hold sharply conflicting views. Okay, good. I'm with you so far. Some believe fervently that a human person comes into being at conception, that abortion ends an innocent life. Others feel just as strongly that any regulation of abortion invades a woman's right to control her own body and prevents women from achieving full equity. Still, others in a third group think that abortion should be allowed under some, but not all, circumstances, and those within this group hold a variety of views about the particular restrictions that should be imposed. Nothing.
It's great summation.
Clandestine under that. It's very clear. It's very easy to understand. For the first 185 years after the adoption of the Constitution, each state was permitted to address this issue in accordance with the views of its citizens. Imagine that. Each state was permitted. Now, the only thing that I would change in there is instead of the states being permitted to address these issues, I would say each state exercised its rights to address these issues within the views of its citizens.
Right.
Then, in 1973, this court, meaning the Supreme Court, decided in Roe v. Wade, and that's probably one of the most seminal cases that almost everyday people on the street can quote right off the top of their head. Roe v. Wade, oh yeah, that's the abortion case. Even though Constitution makes no mention of abortion, the court held that it confers, confers a broad right to obtain an abortion. It did not claim that American law or common law had ever recognized such right, and its surety of history ranged from constitutionally irrelevant to plainly incorrect, in meaning that the assertion of abortion being a right was plainly an incorrect assertion. Now, after cataloging a wealth of information and having no bearing on the meaning of the Constitution, the opinion of the court was concluded to be that a number of set rules, much like those that might be found in a statute enacted by a legislator, determined that abortion was a constitutional right. So now a new constitutional right is fabricated out of whole cloth and exists where it never existed before. And that was the decision. Is abortion, the right to abort a fetus, is that a constitutional right? Or is that something that should be legislated on a state basis and not within the constitutional privileged rights? We're having some difficulties there. So under this scheme, each trimester of pregnancy was regulated differently, but most critical line was drawn roughly at the end of the second trimester. So that's when what most of us understand as viability. And so that was where the court said, okay, viability is where the state has an interest. Viability is where this fetus actually starts to become a person and deserves some constitutional protections, the right to life. Okay? The ability to survive outside the womb is considered viability. Now, science has changed over time. So this decision was made in 1970. It was made in 1972, is enacted in 1973. And so viability, and obviously the viability is defined as the ability of the fetus to survive outside the womb. Now, we obviously have advanced medically since then, so viability is pretty early on now, and not the second trimester or after the second trimester. But that's what it was at the court at the time the court made the decision in Roe v. Wade. And although the court acknowledged that the state had a legitimate interest in protecting potential life, it found that this interest could not justify any restriction on a person's ability to have an abortion. Anytime we get to some of the legalese, I'm trying to paraphrase here, but trying to stick with the genuine understanding of this opinion here. The court did not explain the basis at the line why its viability that the state can come in and start to exercise its rights. But what the court did say is that there was a constitutional right. And even a constitutional scholar who was in favor of abortion, he wrote that if he was a legislator, this would be an appropriate decision. If he was a voter, he would see that a state legislator could make this decision, but not a court. He assessed that Roe was absolutely unconstitutional law, and it made no sense in its attempt to ascertain constitutional basis. If you just read the decision, Roe versus Wade, I remember reading it as a law student going, holy smokes, I'm super confused here, and half because I was clueless about the law, but also because it really didn't make any sense. It mentioned all of these amendments, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and then it said, okay, now if we take these all collectively, that's where that the right is defined. And I was like, wow. These amendments must be a lot more, in depth than a common person can understand. Because I've studied now and I've graduated college and I've got fairly high reading proficiency, but I can't understand what the heck they're talking about because I'm reading the amendments. I don't see anywhere in there where it says that there's this right for an abortion. I do understand where it says that there's a right for legislatures to make laws regarding abortion, but I don't understand where there's a constitutional right to have an abortion. So that is the very first page of the opinion, extremely well written. The opinion then goes into the laws of certain states and what they hold. It goes into the history of abortion in the United States. It goes into other countries and what they hold. And then it gives further basis for its opinion. But what I want to discuss now is even if you agree with abortion, you should also agree with this decision. Now, we're coming up on a break here, but think about that for a moment. This decision is saying we as 9 Supreme Court justices do not have the authority to take away the state's privilege to make laws based on the constituency and the people that voted them into office. We don't have that authority. That's what the Supreme Court is saying. We'll be back after these messages. This is 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Living between two countries at the same time comes with a world of possibilities. Whether I'm here in the U.S., I'm always local. I have my work here. Shopping here. Went to school here.
the weekends, I'm surrounded by thousands of fans cheering our baseball team here.
Whether I'm here, only AT&T's network stays AT&T on both sides, so I'm always local.
Use your AT&T plan in Mexico like in the USA. No catches. Two countries, one network. Only with AT&T. Available for U.S. customers. Requires eligible plan. Additional speed, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Visit att.com/onenetwork for details.
What's the best audio service you never have to pay for? Local Arizona Radio. No subscriptions, no user passwords, no internet required. Just hours of great music, local Arizona news, sports, and more. Up and down your AM/FM dial. Listen in your car, on your smartphone, or your smart speaker. When you plug into local radio, you get great free programming, and you support your community. Find your favorite Arizona stations today at plugintoaz.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm in studio with Howard Blitz, the founder of the Freedom Library, and Russ Clark and Cody Beeson. So we're all in here, and we're discussing this opinion. It's titled Dobbs v. Jackson, if you want to Google it and read it yourself. I highly recommend that you do. Thomas E. Dobbs is one individual on the case, and Jackson's Women Health is the opposing party on the case. And that's the case. So if you Google that case, you can read this draft opinion. I think it's extremely well put together. I've listened to a lot of political commentators on both sides of the aisle about the opinion, and some just rave that it is absolutely it makes no sense, and I don't get it, because I have read Roe v. Wade, and that one was hard for me, because you have to really get into reading between the lines of the Constitution and implement a lot of new language in there to come up with the outcome, the holding in Roe v. Wade, whereas this case very specifically and very plainly states what the law is and what the court's authority is and what its role is and what the authority of the states are or is, and says, listen, we have to, in order to follow the Constitution and uphold the oath that we've sworn to, we have to state that this Roe v. Wade is an incorrect decision. Now, a lot of political commentators say, well, these guys lied. They lied to the senators when they were being confirmed, yeah, in the, or questioned, or whatever you want to call that, interrogated during the confirmation hearings, that they said that they would uphold the law. And what they did say is, yeah, like Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. When the Supreme Court makes a ruling, it is law. And the Supreme Court is famously known for saying, we're not right we're not the end of the process because we are absolutely infallible and right. We are right because we are the end of the process. We are the highest court, and there has to be an end at some point at which decisions are made. And so we are by definition right, because that is the end. That's the highest level that you can go in deciding an issue. And so we understand that we may be fallible, but because we're the end, we're the very last resort, then it's right. That is the law, and you must abide by it. And so these courts said, now we have the ability to redecide or to look at the law again and determine under sets of circumstances that come before us with parties on both sides arguing their points and determine whether or not this was correctly upheld. Now, if we didn't have that ability to continue to decide whether issues were constitutional or not, then why even have the Supreme Court? Why even have a set of judges that go through this very strict process that are these constitutional scholars to help us understand and apply the Constitution? That's essentially what I'm hearing from the left, is they had no right to overturn this because they said they wouldn't. Well, if they said they're not going to overturn any of the laws that exist, why do we even have them in the first place? It's just a ridiculous argument.
Yeah,
there's a lot of arguments you just brought up there. I think Jefferson was very terrified of the Supreme Court. I think, at least from what I've read about the founders, their interpretation of the Supreme Court is they render opinions on whether or not a law is under the purview of the Constitution, of the federal government, of the national government. Okay, because the Constitution was written to restrain the power of the government to only certain purviews, certain
Correct.
Areas.
But the 14th Amendment applies all constitutional rights to all states.
Yes. They apply the Bill of Rights to all states.
No, the Constitution and all amendments.
Yes. But the thing is, the 10th Amendment says, look, everything we haven't given, we've only given the national government certain areas to work in.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is with us or yes. the people.
And that's what...
So the 10th Amendment is a big deal. And so the national government, there's nothing, and I think what the justices are saying here is, well, there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that authorizes the national government to get involved with this particular issue.
That's right.
They're excluded.
And isn't that their job?
This is a state deal.
Isn't that their job?
And that's their job.
Yeah,
it
is. It's their job. And that's
exactly. It doesn't make it law, though. It's just saying you can't be involved with this. See, I look at things, I guess, a little bit different than you do in that respect.
What does make a law?
The legislative branch.
Okay,
they make all the laws.
But who decides whether or not the law is right or wrong?
The Supreme Court is going to decide and does decide
uh-huh.
whether or not that law is pursuant to the U.S. Constitution.
And if it is,
then fine.
Then it's law.
And it's law.
Hence the Supreme Court's decision.
It's just confirming the legislative branch's action. The Supreme Court does not make law. They're either confirming the law
uh-huh.
that the legislative branch made with the president's mm-hmm. signature, or they're not. Or they're saying, no, that is not law. That's
okay. And so here's where I'm going to disagree with you, and this is why. Because there are two types of laws.
Okay.
There is law that is created by the legislature. Okay.
Correct.
And then there is law that is created through the courts by interpreting the law. Because the legislature cannot take every scenario, right, that may be applicable to the finite laws that they draft
mm-hmm.
and say, for example— In this case, theft means even if you're starving and you need some bread and you run up to a bread stand and you grab a loaf, that's theft. And theft also means if you go into a bank and you hold up people by gunpoint and you steal the money in the bank, that's also theft. They can't go through every scenario.
Yeah.
And so what the court's job is to hear the individual scenarios, to look at the law that's made by the legislator and interpret whether or not that scenario constituted a violation of the law. And so what the court's then holding is law, because it applies the scenario with the finite language in the law. And so we as lawyers look at the court's decisions and we say that court made the decision on those issues. So if I come up with the same set of issues and I go before the same court, the same outcome should come out because that is law. That law has to have an ability to be defined, and the courts are that institution that defines those statutes.
I understand what you're saying. I really do. I understand it.
And that is written in the Constitution for that purpose.
I think our difference is that when I see a decision come down from the U.S. Supreme Court, it's telling me that, A, the Supreme Court is affirming the legislative branch's
yes.
exercise in making that particular law, and it does apply. It is pursuant to the U.S. Constitution. If it comes down and says, no, it's not pursuant to the Constitution of the United States, then it's not a law. It's invalid.
Yes.
But that, to me, that's not making law. That's making a decision, an opinion, saying it's a check on the legislative branch.
But is the opinion binding?
the opinion is binding in the sense that it's no longer law.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you strike down laws, that is,
see, in my mind, that's not making law. That's making an opinion and saying it's invalid, and it's a check on the legislative.
Okay.
It's just a matter of semantics here.
Well,
or understanding, I guess.
Okay. Yes, we disagree on
what
the
lawyer's understanding
of the courts are
up
here, and my understanding is that the role is law is further explained and defined by the circumstances that go before the court, and when the court interprets those circumstances a certain way, mm-hmm, that becomes law. Those circumstances actually define law. So we're coming up on the end of the hour here.
Is that right?
And
wow, that was fast.
I encourage you to do two things. Watch 2,000 Mules,
yeah,
about the elections, and read Dobbs v. Jackson, and determine for yourself whether or not the states should have the authority to define law for themselves.
Yeah.
Want to know more about something that was discussed today? Please call the law firm of Decent Garner and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.